Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line at Sunday morning at 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is the station. This is the time. This is the place to engage in dialogue across the chasm, but across the thin line sometimes between the human and the divine. To talk about ultimate values, worship practices, traditions, and all the rest. Everything in between and around and over and under. Give us a call at 576-7710, 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, the Social Justice Consultant of the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with in studio
Dum Bum Bum, Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. Bob, when we started this, there were no emeriti around here. Time marches
what,
on.
What does it say? It says that we've been around so long, people think we can't get another job. No.
So. Or the you can parse emeritus, he deserves it.
Well, at any rate, on this very, very saturated Sunday morning, we have lots to talk about in terms of the world of religion. Do give us a call at 576-7710, 576-7710. And we will take your call and top off the morning, at least start off the morning, with a lot of good conversation. Bill, Michael, thank you for your forbearance. And I want to thank Barry Fries. Give him a big shout-out for the last two Sundays for not being in the studio. The first weekend on, I believe it was the 15th, I was in Texas, or actually in Colorado and Texas and dealing with the death of the person who was my second father, Dick Blaisdell. I want to honor him and give him his due. And then the next weekend had the honor and the blessing and the burden of preaching his funeral. So thank you, Barry Fries, for being in my stead. And thank you, Bill and Michael, for making sure nobody took my uniform. So yeah. Appreciate it. So what do we have on our minds, Michael, this morning?
What's the rule in football? You don't lose your starting spot even though you're injured or something?
Oh, yeah, we're on the disabled list. Injured reserve or whatever.
Okay. But on my mind this morning, well, as with Spick, it's Thanksgiving weekend, and I would love to imagine that whenever you're hearing this particular program, that somebody might have some reflections on the whole experience of the Thanksgiving festival. Yeah. The oldest continuing American holiday, biblical roots, et cetera, et cetera. But if there are some traditions out there beyond overeating, I'd be most interested in adding them to the repertoire of what our listeners and what I might be able to embrace.
You know, let's not give overeating a bad name. I mean, you know, let's talk about the holy things that people may eat, even in a ritualistic way. Huh? How does a family personalize something and make it almost holy, like the crescent rolls that, you know, Aunt Mame always has to bring, that kind of thing?
That'd be interesting. Also, is there a particular food? Oh, miss it because that person's no longer part of the gathering of our table. But that said, it might be intriguing what particular foods are peculiar to and specific to that particular family's gathering. But coming together, gathering, you may recall, Bob, I subscribe, this is the first time I'm using it in your tenure, Bill, a magazine called The Funny Times, and it's got endless numbers of things. And there's one of them is John Winokur, who has a curmudgeon column. And curmudgeon this month looks at Christmas, and this is the first Sunday of Advent. Yes,
it is.
For all Christian traditions, well, thanks, other than Orthodox?
Thanks for trumping our trump card.
Regardless, here's the curmudgeon on Christmas. Christmas is a time when you get homesick even when you're home. Christmas, it's the only religious holiday that's also a federal holiday. That way Christians can go to their services and everyone else can sit at home and reflect on the true meaning of the separation of church and state. Which I think is actually quite a topic that we regularly focus on from time to time. And the whole Pilgrim Mayflower Compact has gotten some play. And I believe Mike in Kingsville brought it up last week as a demonstration this is a Christian country, albeit the pilgrims were not only fleeing religious intolerance, they embraced religious intolerance.
Yeah,
that's all
and
good.
And tried to impose it.
I brought, this is Stephen Wright, you know, the deadpan comedian.
With the big hair.
I bought my brother some gift wrap for Christmas. I took it to the gift wrap department and told him to wrap it, but in a different print so he would know when to stop unwrapping. Last one of these things. This is Dave Barry. Once again, we come to a holiday season, a deeply religious time that each of us observes in his own way by going to the mall of his choice.
You know, Michael, you've just given about, oh, I don't know, 35 preachers their opening line for sermons today. I mean, what's the name of that site?
The Funny Times. It's a monthly, what do they call it? What do they used to call these
magazine?
Things?
Oh, periodical.
Yeah. Well, not only a periodical, but it's specifically.
Oh, it's like Rolling Stone.
You know, like a rotogravure kind of thing, but that's not the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Aside. National Public Radio report this week. This is the 50th anniversary. Bill did not know. The Pact of the Catacombs, which was done by a number of bishops during Vatican II to take a pledge of poverty. And one of the suggestions in the NPR report that I heard was that it went underground for a long time because it got linked all too readily with liberation theology, which fell into very deep concern and suspicion vis-a-vis the Cold War, et cetera. But Pope Francis, because it took root in Latin America especially, Pope Francis seems to be an embodiment in his own life of what was done, pledged to in the Pact of the Catacombs. Now, here's a controversy. I haven't even had my coffee. That's not the controversy, folks. This is from this week's Time magazine. There is a pill, the headline, "This pill can stop the spread of AIDS, HIV. Can doctors get it into the right hand?" Since 2012, when the FDA approved a drug that could prevent HIV transmission, critics have worried that the mere existence of such a pill would promote unsafe sex and cause HIV infection to surge. But a new study published just before the World AIDS Day proves them wrong. But it's one of those, it's the whole contretemps in our culture of, if you make certain things available, will you make permissible the behavior you're trying to discourage? And that's a real controversy, from whether we provide birth control at colleges and universities and in high school, et cetera, because it'll make the kids sexually active, to whether what is the appropriate response when we have ability to save lives or not, what do we do?
And what's the moral mandate to
do? Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Or a conflicting of moral mandates.
So basically, it's like an immunization against AIDS.
Well, I don't think it somehow combats the virus taking root.
To
the extent that I read the
So you
thing.
Can take the pill and then
and still engage
in risky
behaviors
sex
that are inappropriate.
But it not necessarily that would prevent it from ever happening in any future occurrence.
My guess is you got to be au courant with the pill,
right?
As opposed to a vaccination, which would make you theoretically have some immunization. This is a curious one, and I bet there's some folks out there who have some very strong feelings. The Northern Illinois University, or as we call it in Chicago, NIU, removes Bibles from campus hotel. The foundation, the Freedom from Religion Foundation, complained because one of its members was up there to give a lecture, was staying in the hotel, opened the drawer,
Gideon's Bible!
Which is not the best translation, but that aside, they immediately removed, as opposed to saying, now you can get it if you ask for it at the desk.
They removed it
room
completely.
Room service will deliver your Bible, but you probably have to tip.
All right. You know what? We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back after these messages. We've got more, folks. More and more and more. Here at 576-7710, Religion on the Line. Give us a call.
Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City, providing severe service and attention to detail for over 20 years. RainerKC.com. On the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel, they'll be talking about prayer and the tremendous healing power of God. It's on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel, Sunday morning at 8:30 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM. You are not a tourist, and this is not a cruise. You're a deal-seeking memory collector, and this is the ultimate adventure. Turtle Cove trekking one day and diving at the foot of St. Lucia's Batons the next. Or spend an afternoon catamaran coasting to Starfish Island, then island hopping on ships that are smart islands themselves. And getting it all for less with the new BOGO Getter sale from Royal Caribbean. Buy one guest and get one guest at 50% off. Plus, get a 50% reduced deposit and up to $300 in onboard spending money. Plus, get free Voom high-speed internet to share it all. You are not a tourist, and this is not the Caribbean. It's the Royal Caribbean. Come seek today. Call Cruise Holidays, home of your all-knowing adventure curators, at 816-505-1500. That's 816-505-1500. Or visit online at chkc.travel. Call today and come seek the Royal Caribbean. You deserve an adventurous vacation.
The economy still matters, and it can either be boon or bane to your investments. This is portfolio manager Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the Capitalist Pig Show, heard every Saturday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. The economy is always oscillating between periods of boom and bust, and that's as true today as it was 100 years ago. At Butler Lands and Wagler, we provide you with the best chance to navigate our ever-changing economy by stacking the odds of success in your favor. We do that by investing with the trends, which are themselves reflective of our economy. The biggest difference between us and other financial advisors is that when the environment changes, so do we. This value-added approach gives you peace of mind, regardless what the economy and markets give us. You can learn more by downloading our free report at investontrack.com or giving us a call at 913-696-1919. That's investontrack.com and 913-696-1919.
Oh, hi. Do you know what this is the sound of? It's the sound of me getting rewarded for doing my part to prevent wildfires. See, right now I'm getting a big, remarkably heartfelt bear hug from Smokey Bear. Thanks, big guy. And now we're shaking. Okay. First, I made sure there were no low-hanging branches when I set up my campfire. Hey, Smokey, let me down for just a second. I need to make sure everyone can hear this. There we go. Then, when we were packing up to leave, I drowned out my campfire, stirred it, drowned it out again, and then made sure to feel it if it was cold. Oh, Smokey Bear really loves it when you do that, don't you, Smokey? Oh, he lets his hugs do the talking. Visit SmokeyBear.com to learn tips to prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Hi, I'm Craig Morgan. You might know me for my songs, but before I sang country music, I served in the United States Army, where I stood side by side with some of the most resilient people I've ever met. They taught me that one small act can make a big difference during tough times. If you're a veteran or service member in crisis or having thoughts of suicide, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. One conversation can save a life. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
Get connected and get it right.
KCMO Talk Radio 710.
And now 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is the time and this is the place. Pick up the phone and call 576-7710, 576-7710 here at Religion on the Line. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, with Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City and Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple Ben Ehud.
May I conclude my list?
Yes.
Oh,
no,
you guys may continue.
You may continue your list.
Last week, Bob, one of the topics was the whole refugee issue and our anxiousness about letting folks in, or what is the appropriate thing to do, all the kinds, the contretemps of that particular moment. And this is from a gentleman who happens to be the regional representative for the Anti-Defamation League. So he comes at it with a prejudice, namely, he cares.
Mm-hmm.
That's the right prejudice, I would say, but that's my prejudice getting in the way.
Okay.
And Lonnie Nassiter is his name. And his article begins, "Fear of Refugees, a Flashback to the Holocaust." Mm. In July 1938, 3 years after the Nuremberg Laws had stripped Germany's Jews of citizenship and most political rights, A Fortune magazine poll of Americans asked, what is your attitude toward allowing German, Austrian, and other political refugees to come to the U.S.? More than two-thirds answered they believe refugees should be kept out.
Yeah.
And the ostensible reason, the above-the-table reason, was there might be spies among them.
Mm-hmm.
The more obvious reason was they're different.
They're different. They're other. Yeah.
So
we might want to
revisit
revisit that the subject of the other and how do we engage, encounter, embrace, reject, encounter the other, particularly because Thanksgiving is about the other. The Thanksgiving whole tradition, historically as well as contemporarily, my Thanksgiving table, we had people who had were Indian but had lived in from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
There were people who were Vietnamese, African-American, had been born in Vietnam and had immigrated here. There were people who were had immigrated from Minnesota and that were Irish Catholic in their background.
Mm-hmm. So there were strangers in Minnesota.
Well, no, there's some pretty – they're either Lutheran or they're Catholic. They're not discipled too long, too often. We have a few churches, but not very many, and not very many Baptists up there. But – it was very interesting. It was the richest discussion, I think, that we've had at Thanksgiving time. And it was about religion.
Mm.
We talked about religion for probably 2.5 hours. Not all of us. There were little clutches of people around the in the den after the dinner, after we had unburdened the table of some food. So
the table was lighter, but everyone else.
Well, we were a lot heavier, so we went to sit on the couches so we wouldn't break the chairs.
So I got just two more before I turn the mic over to my colleagues in the studio. I thought this was wonderful in terms of the schizophrenia that so often is part of everybody else's life. We recognize it as opposed to our own when we might just take it for granted. Survey, government bad, but most programs good. And then, of course, we've got the Pope. Once more, peripatetically, making a difference in parts of the world, and I'm anxious to hear some
and
stuff about that.
There's almost a kind of little a pebble going boom in the middle of a pond, and then all around there's ripples effect. I mean, this guy goes to where? Uganda? Kenya?
He's talking about the Central African Republic now, isn't he?
Yeah, Central African Republic today, or he's already been there for a while. So we do have a caller. Shall we go?
And, I think we should go to the caller.
Yeah. Sally, you've got religion on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you all this morning?
Great, thank
you.
Good. Hey, I just, a friend of mine texted me and told me to go online to YouTube and watch a little 4-minute video, and I watched it, and it almost brought tears to my eyes. And it's a video about, and the guy in the video, you can look this up on YouTube, it's about 4 minutes. His name is John DeBerry, and he is a representative from Memphis, Tennessee, and he is actually
How do you spell the last name, Sally?
I think it's DeBarry, capital D-E, capital B-A-R-R-Y.
Okay.
And what the discussion was about, which he kind of says, I don't really care what we're trying to discuss, but because the state of Tennessee does a lot of printing, that of books and printed material, I guess one of their major sources of income is printing of the Bible. Because more copies of the Bible are sold than any other book. So basically, I guess they were tossing around the idea of making the Bible the state book of Tennessee. But what Mr. DeBerry gets up, because they make so much money off of it, you know, everything's down to the money. But Mr. DeBerry gets up, and he gives like a 4-minute talk about our spirituality, about our country, about how we need to accept everybody and everything, but how we need to remember who our God is and where all our gifts come from. And
so
anyway,
it's a sermon on the House of Representatives.
He was very sincerely.
Oh no, I mean that in the most positive sense. All right.
He was sincerely expressing his opinions about how he felt about God. Not that everybody else needs to feel that way, but he was also discussing what he thought our founders meant when they wrote the Constitution, the greatest document he believes was ever written, you know, by man. And anyway, it's only like 4 minutes long, and I think it's called Bill HB 615 or something like that.
I think you're exactly right. I think that's we've tried to find it here, and it's part of the General Assembly. 109th
yes.
General Assembly of Tennessee.
Yes, and maybe you want to watch that and comment on it, because I tell you, he brought those people to their feet and just kind of took their breath away by saying everybody has a right to worship the way they want to worship. We can't take that away from anybody in this country.
But however, buy more Bibles.
No. It was actually
that's not what he said at all.
He was saying actually not a parallel truth, which was that there are things that are more important than whether the state was printing more Bibles, and in fact, much more grave. And that they were majoring minors and minoring in majors. So,
yeah, basically he just said, if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for everything.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a great line. Anyway, I really enjoyed watching it. And I don't know, I don't find a lot of humor in what's going on in our country today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I find, you know, everybody's religion is their right to practice what they want. I don't laugh at Muslims. I don't laugh at Catholics. I'm just a basic Christian. You know, I just find it's much more serious today than, and everybody has a right to have their own beliefs. And I think it's, you know, sacrilegious for me to make fun of someone because of their race or their religion. But I realize, you know, a lot of people don't feel that way, and a lot of people don't have a higher power or a God these days. And I think that's a big problem, is we're falling for everything. Anyway, thank you guys.
You know,
I like
what?
The show.
You know what? Do you have any? Do you have enough coasters yet?
I don't think. Sally, is this your first call?
Yes.
Aha!
Sally, if you will remain on, just we'll put you on hold. And
you
Rick,
need
our
to be punished for being
producer.
Intelligent and clear and calling the show. And we have a present for you.
We
Sally.
Have a present for you. Okay. You'll love it, I think.
Okay, well, thank you all, and have a great holiday.
Thanks
season.
For bringing right. up your subject.
Hold on. All right.
I wonder if others have already seen this. I know nothing about it.
I know nothing about it, and I can't remember the date on this. And actually, when was it that this took place? It looks like it was published and shared last spring, this mm-hmm. past spring. Mm-hmm. So it's and probably it wasn't in the summer. Nor in the fall. I think Tennessee is not unlike Missouri in that it has limited.
If ever I would leave you.
It would be in November. So, anyway, we do not have topics from you, Bill. What are your topics this morning
you
that
know,
you want to suggest?
I was hoping to just talk kind of along the Michael stole my thunder, just reflections on Thanksgiving. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about the meal because we all just had this great meal. And I was really struck. One of the blessings I have in my job is I help Archbishop Joseph Naumann record his radio show, which is on another station that shall go unnamed, but it's on Catholic radio. But
in the immortal words of Cecil B. DeMille, he who must not be named.
But he was we were interviewing we were talking about meals because we were interviewing someone, a woman who has a diet plan that's also got a faith component. And he said, and this really struck me, it was kind of my Thanksgiving meditation. He said, we need as a culture to recover the family meal. Because without the family meal, people will not understand the Eucharist. And he went on to say that while humans are animals, we do all animal things in a human way. And he said, animals have feedings, but humans have meals. And we need to recover the family meal, and so many social problems will be solved. So that was my meditation at the Thanksgiving
dinner. Did you
dinner.
Give him that turn of phrase? It's a beautiful turn of phrase.
No, he came with
I'll
that.
I'll take
human,
credit for it.
Yeah,
he's
sure,
not listening.
Sure. Humans have, or animals have feedings, but humans have meals. And it really struck me because, honestly, the night before, our meal was, hey, I just made a frozen pizza, guys. Just eat it. You know, I had all my kids digging. I was like, uh-oh, I need to get back on track. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so. Well, we're going to get back on track and pay some bills here. We're going to be right back after these messages. You give us a call at 576-7710, 576-7710, here on Religion on the Line.
Right now, Doctors Without Borders medical teams are operating in some of the most remote and dangerous corners of the world. When front yards become front lines, at the crossroads of conflict and epidemic, where there are no hospitals, that's where we operate. Your response is critical to our response in places where few others will go. That's where we operate. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
We all need the Common Core State Standards to prepare students for college and the real world.
Why?
Well, the standards make sure you're really exercising your brain when learning things like fractions or reading and writing about books by famous authors.
I'm reading James and the Giant Peach.
And while you read that, a student in another school may be reading Charlotte's Web. But you'll both be learning to read carefully, looking for clues, like a detective.
I'm a good detective.
I bet you'll be good at meeting these standards, too. Learn more at commoncoreworks.org.
CBS News Update. We're learning more about the gunman accused of killing three people, including a cop, at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Friday. CBS's David Begno reports.
A law enforcement source tells CBS News that 57-year-old Robert Deere said, quote, "no more baby parts," as he was being taken into custody on Friday. He has been cooperating with investigators ever since he was arrested. But throughout the interrogation, sources say Deere has been behaving erratically.
Vicki Cowart heads the Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains.
This facility will be closed for some time. It has been heavily damaged, and we will have to rebuild, and we will rebuild.
Officer Garrett Swayze was one of the victims. Before he became a cop, he was a skating champion. Former figure skater Nancy Kerrigan remembers.
Fun, funny, a true friend, very loyal and loving, caring person, good listener.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Freezing rain and drizzle will stay in our forecast overnight with cloudy skies. We'll see temperatures fall to around 30 degrees for your Sunday morning with northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. The good news is on Sunday we're looking for warmer temperatures with highs in the upper 30s, cloudy skies and rain showers likely throughout the day with northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Haley Shulman.
Here's an idea I've been throwing around.
Okay.
We're just thinking out loud here.
Thinking out loud.
We've made some changes recently.
Yeah. Do you believe that?
And you've responded in a big way.
That's a good point, too. This is the kind of stuff you're going to get.
We're fine-tuning the lineup.
I actually kind of suggested that.
Carson in the Morning is now on 6 till 10.
It may have already happened.
Followed by Steve Sutton, 10 till noon.
Wow, this is just too much.
Greg Knapp still brings you home 4 till 6 p.m.
That kind of talk is what gets everybody going.
This is KCMO Talk Radio 103.7 FM and AM 710.
Every day, we go about our lives driven by routine, our vision clouded by the very normalcy we take for granted. Countless victims of human trafficking walk among us, invisible. It's time to open our eyes. The Blue Campaign provides a unified voice for those who combat human trafficking, whether it's forced labor, domestic servitude, or the sex trade. Learn what you can do to help by visiting dhs.gov/bluecampaign.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
You've heard that before. You heard it on the radio. Only the radio. Hi, I'm Mitch Holthus, telling you that if you want your customers to remember your business in a similar way, go to cumulusradio.com to learn how. You're listening right now, and so are your customers. In fact, this Cumulus Media radio station has enough potential customers listening to fill Arrowhead Stadium many times over. Go to cumulusradio.com today and build your business. Change your business with radio.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Begin by finding a comfortable, relaxed position. Let out whatever stress is in your body. It could be from the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk four sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library, or when you thought chaperoning the school dance meant actually dancing in the school dance. Whatever it is, let it go. The fire you started with that experimental dinner, let it go. The time you drove away from the gas pump with the gas pump, let it go. Three, very relaxed. Two, there you go. One.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Carson in the morning.
There's a place in Overland Park that was selling counterfeit Royals gear. So if you see a jersey that says Royals, R-O-I-L-S, that is a counterfeit one.
Okay? Got me already.
Dennis, come on, man.
$43.
Just do spell check.
Carson in the morning on KCMO weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is the time. This is the place. This is not St. Patty's Day, but another nice holiday all around our country as we engage in a religious dialogue, a conversation. Do give us a call at 576-7710, 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Social Justice, or Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with.
Figure it out, will you?
Yeah.
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. Bill, are you done with the topics? I bet you're not. Oh, darn.
Can't we talk about the Pope in Africa? My goodness. What a tour. Divorce in a new way, that this guy, I'm sorry, no, the eminence, his his eminence, the Pope, is doing all across the globe. And now this is his first trip to Africa, but he's not the first Pope to visit Africa. Is that correct?
No, John Paul II.
Right,
has been there. I don't know if Benedict made it to Africa, but I know John Paul II. He went everywhere.
So Pope Francis has been to Nairobi. He's been to Uganda. He's been to, and he's very politic, very, very interesting, but also promoting compassion again and reasonableness, but kind of shoving it, not shoving, wanting to compel a conversation about global warming and its linkage to the poor. So,
yeah, certainly, he wrote a encyclical, which was a landmark encyclical called Laudato Si. Care for our common home, and it's not just about global warming. It's really about being stewards of the earth and responsible use for the earth, receiving the planet as a common good that we all share, and in sharing this good, we can't use it exclusively for our own purposes. We have a responsibility to be mindful of how we're using it. And another shocker too, though, is the Pope is saying that how we treat the moral law affects how we treat the environment. If that we need to respect humanity's natural ecology, and seeing that there's a purpose and there's an end in our own personal morality, and that translates over into how we treat nature. So just like there's a physical ecology we have to respect, there's also a moral ecology. And a lot of people, they get lost. They think, well, because the Pope is saying some bad things about capitalism, he must be a Marxist. The Pope is not a Marxist.
Shucks.
Yeah. what the Pope is saying is that everything we do affects other people, especially in this modern economy, especially in this modern world. And we have to be mindful of how all of our actions affect others. And a big reason why he's going to places like Africa and South America is he wants to lift up the people that are on the margins of society. This papacy, I mean, if you had to sum up John Paul II's papacy, it would be all about culture of life. If you had to sum up Pope Francis's papacy, it's turning into a culture of encounter, where he wants us to be in real human relationship. So he would like that Wall Street stockbroker to actually go and meet people in Africa and be in relationship with those people in Africa, real human relationship, encountering them, so that he can be mindful that when he's making a decision about food prices that are going to affect world markets and maybe potentially cause these people to not be able to afford rice. I mean, you raise rice up 20 cents a bushel or whatever, that might not affect us in the United States, but that can have devastating consequences across the world. So the Pope would say, you know, you need to go out and you need to encounter, you need to be mindful of everybody that's affected by your decisions. And so I think that's why he's using the world stage to do that, to lift up, particularly people who are on the margins, Because one of the great things about capitalism, we're always hearing capitalism, oh, free markets, and they're just these wonderful things. And they are. Free markets are really great at taking care of a lot of people's needs, and free markets have done more to lift people out of poverty than many other things. However, the one thing that free markets don't do very well is they don't take care of people who don't have a stake, who don't have any money. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the Pope is saying.
Don't have any capital.
Right. They don't have any capital.
And don't have a way to get capital.
That's about 90% of the world.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad the Pope is bringing brokers and folks living on the margins. I hope he leaves us alone.
No, but he'd be saying, you know, you need to step out of your comfort
right.
level, and you need to meet you need to kind of cross those borders and meet people that you don't know. And that's what the gospel is all about, is loving the poor, but really in a personal way. I mean, you know, Catholics and Christians are very fond of quoting Matthew 25. You know, mm-hmm. when we go to receive our personal judgment, it's not going to be a catechism test. It's not going to be like, you know, name the Ten Commandments. Jesus is going to have a very personal question. What did you do for me? And you're going to ask, well, when did I see you?
Mm.
And you're going to say, anytime someone was in need, if they were hungry or thirsty or lonely. And that's why in the Archdiocese, we're getting ready to commence a year of mercy. The Pope has done something really extraordinary starting December 8th. There's going to be a Jubilee Year of Mercy. Now, usually Jubilees happen every 25 years, and the last time we had one was 15 years ago, but the Pope has bumped it up. So we're having a special Jubilee Year of Mercy in which, as Catholics, and I think all Christians, we're called to be intentional about how can we do works of mercy, particularly the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. So corporal would be feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, visiting those in prison, caring for the sick. And then spiritual would be things like bearing wrongs patiently, praying for other people, forgiving offenses.
Write the little précis that the diocese is going to use? I mean, those are very articulated.
Oh, I did help a little bit. I did.
Yeah, I thought you
might have. We have a little video coming out, and I was. We're going to be showing those at Mass next week.
All right. Well,
I hope Sally gets a chance to watch it.
Yeah, hey, there you go.
She was our YouTube.
Yeah, plug that video, Sally.
But you know, you remind me of one of those classics. I the Fourth Wise Man. Remember the
with Martin Sheen. Yeah,
was that
Henry Van Dyke? Henry Van Dyke wrote a little story.
A movie. Yeah.
Well, it was made into a TV
thing. Yeah.
But it's, you know, this. He gets lost and he never get. He's always
never
just misses Jesus.
Yeah.
Until the end, and he helps the poor, and then he hears the Matthew reflection. Even if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Yeah.
Michael, thank you for the reference of the, we can't assume all the time that folks listening know our scriptural references, but it's one of the biggest ones, Matthew 25, and it is called the least of these portion. And everybody knows it in culture, though, Bill, and you cite something that really echoes, I think, with a lot of people at Thanksgiving time. Mm. A lot of people serving in shelters and homeless situations, Salvation Army and otherwise, Union Mission, Union Rescue Mission here in Kansas City, and a lot of other ways. It might be nice to hear people who have had that experience this past Thursday or Wednesday or Friday or yesterday that they served people in the way that St. Francis is emphasizing, as Bill has described.
You upped his title at that point. You said St. Francis?
St. Francis. Yeah. You know, I can't help it.
I do that all the time, yeah.
So Pope Francis is done. And and conflate it with what Bill said earlier about eating and sacrament. How sacramental was your Thanksgiving this year?
Mm.
How sacramental was it? How did it happen for you? And it could be it was just good family time, but it was the best family time. And just to emphasize it one more time, what Michael said earlier in the show, that this is the most inclusive holiday that's both religious and national.
Mm-hmm.
It's really wide-armed. It really is big. We're going to take a break and be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line, 576-7710.
Here's an idea I've been throwing around.
Okay. We're just thinking out loud here.
Thinking out loud.
We've made some changes recently.
Yeah. Do you believe that?
And you've responded in a big way.
That's a good point, too. This is the kind of stuff you're going to get.
We're fine-tuning the lineup.
I actually kind of suggested that.
Carson in the Morning is now on 6 till 10.
It may have already happened.
Followed by Steve Sutton, 10 till noon.
Wow, this is just too much.
Greg Knapp still brings you home 4 till 6 p.m.
That kind of talk is what gets everybody going.
This is KCMO Talk Radio, 103.7 FM and AM 710.
Oh, hi. Right now, I'm getting a remarkably heartfelt bear hug from Smokey Bear. Thanks, big guy. Now, if you could let me down. See, I made sure there were no low-hanging branches when I set up my campfire. And before we left, I drowned out my campfire, stirred it, drowned it out again, then made sure it was cold. Visit SmokeyBear.com to learn tips to prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
The Health and Wellmobile, made possible by Diagnostic Imaging Centers, PA. In partnership with McCarthy Auto Group, Lauren Wants to Know, and Roxy's Healthy Treats, bring health and wellness directly to you. Free and low-cost health screenings, scans, and health education are provided daily all around Kansas City.
For free blood pressure and blood glucose checks, hearing screenings, and a variety of free and low-cost non-invasive health services, go to the Ward Parkway Thanksgiving Day Run in Kansas City, Missouri.
Visit us online at healthwellmobile.com.
This is you over 30 years ago.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
And this is your mom when you drive her back from therapy.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Roles change without us noticing, and in your new role, we help you help. AARP gives you the information to help care for your mom so that you can have patience with her just like she did with you. Visit aarp.org/caregiving or call 1-877-333-5885 to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one.
Are we there yet?
Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You may know that Doctors Without Borders provides medical care in emergencies around the world. But did you know that the majority of our patients are women and children? Providing women's health care in the places we work can be extremely challenging, but it's incredibly important. Saving a mother's life can mean saving at least one additional life, since children who lose their mothers are far less likely to survive. They need her, and we need her, because tomorrow needs her. Go to womenshealth.msf.org or hashtag tomorrow needs her.
Hi, I'm Matt Kenseth. You don't have to be a race car driver to know that life can be full of drama. Some of it you can't control, like mechanical issues, high winds, and rain delays. But there's some drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
You just need to take that first step and find free classes near you and leave the drama for the racetrack.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack, when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 1414 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 1414.
The Greg Knapp Experience.
I mean, do we have to censor ourselves to keep our jobs? You know what the answer to that is to me? Yep. You do.
Weekday afternoons, 4 till 6.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is the time and this is the place. Do give us a call at 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with in studio
bum, 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 Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus.
So great
Temple
to have
Ben-Ehud.
You.
Michael, as always, yeah, and the studio audience is going wild. I mean, you know, they've even in you
sound
know,
effects.
They've embraced all the makeup people, too, also in the makeup room, and they're having
a
party.
They were stunned
in there.
How much I've aged since the last time I was here.
Said, put some makeup on it, please, quick. Take my wife. Let us look at each other without mistrust. Let us meet each other without fear, and let us talk with each other without surrendering principle. The great adage of Pope John the 20, excuse me, Pope St. John the 23rd now, is the motto of our show. It's on the coasters that we give out. And if you want triple coasters today,
look at the presents they would make for this season.
Yes. we will give it for the first person to call us with the answer to this question. What are the principal colors of the season of Advent for Christians, both Catholic and Protestants, all right? Give us a call, 576-7710. But we're going to go to, I just want to say movies. Everybody ought to see Spotlight, as painful as it is. Mm. It's about the Boston Globe's investigation of the sex scandals in that diocese, but also uncovering the scandal as it reached across the nation and the globe for the abuse of children. So give us a call if you have any kind of comment about that. By the way, it's rated R.
Yeah, if you've seen the movie,
It's rated R. I commend it to everybody. It's going to get all kinds of Oscar nominations. So we're going to go to Joe. Joe, you've got religion on the line.
Yeah, good morning. I was just listening to the program here this morning. I almost take offense to the topic a little bit, that capitalism, you know, you're asking them to go out and really stand in the shoes of the people that they affect. And sorry about my voice, actually, but I'm a local entrepreneur. I can tell you, I'm uneducated as far as the public school system goes. I've twice in my life lost $1 million that was made through sweat, and I worked hard for it, and I'm on my third now. But in the meantime, while putting together these personal businesses and stuff, I really am contributing, I believe, my part. I mean, I own a restaurant here in town now, and on a weekly basis, we're donating somewhere between 800 and 1,000 pounds of beef to the local shelters and women's shelters and Catholic charities. And
thank you for doing that.
Well,
Joe, you're living out exactly what Bill was talking about earlier, I believe.
But you have a complaint with something, so be clear.
And what upsets me is that people don't realize how much private free enterprise does give to the homeless. And even when I participated in motorcycle events, you know, the local hall group here, Harley-Davidson Riders, are one of the largest contributors to charities ever. And if you continue to cost the capitalist, we're going to quit. It's hard. It's really hard to, you know, when I look at it, think I donate more per dollar every week than I take home for my own family. And I donate more, or my business pays more in taxes alone. And it's hard for me to sit around. And I'm a Catholic. I was raised in a family of 10 children. You know, we were to give every week. My dad made $28,000 in his best year with 10 kids at home, and we still filled the envelope every week. And it's hard for me to sit around knowing that the Catholic Church itself and the Pope has the strings to a checkbook that is one of the largest in the world, and they do what I consider is almost, I don't know, I'd beg someone to do a social experiment. We could take everybody today that's in poverty in America, write them one check for $1 million, and in 1 year, let's see where everybody is.
You know, there actually are churches where they do, where the minister will give $100 or $1,000 or whatever he might be able to get a hold of to different members to see what they can do with it. But
Joe, I don't think we're in disagreement. What I was trying to clarify, because a lot of people hear the Pope critiquing capitalism, and they think it's just an outright denial of the whole system. Throw the baby out with the bathwater. He is not saying that. What he's criticizing is crony capitalism. So I think the Pope would look at what you've described yourself as doing, Joe, and saying, yes, this is a good thing. You're thinking about, you're taking an attitude of stewardship where you're saying, I'm working really hard and I'm making a lot of money, but then this money that I make, I have a responsibility to dispense with it in a way that serves other people. I'm not just trying to get rich for myself. And what the Pope is condemning is a system in which people are trying to get rich for themselves and they only take care of themselves and they fix the system where they rig the system so they have some kind of monopoly or a trust. And they don't have any consideration about how they're not playing fair and how that's affecting other people. So as long as you're like trying to turn a profit, and considering how are people all along the food chain of my involvement being affected, both people above and below me, you're fine. I mean, capitalism is a good thing, but we can't be putting our faith in it as a system. And that's what happens a lot of times is people go, capitalism's good. And it's good. You can't question anything that we do because capitalism is inherently good. Well, you know, as Catholics, I mean, a lot of people are surprised when I tell them this. The popes have spent a lot of ink criticizing communism and critiquing communism as well they should. But they've also spilt a lot of ink. And this not just this pope. I mean, he's not saying anything new that John Paul II or Benedict or the popes before him. The popes have
might
had
even
a lot
be
of,
able to go back
yeah,
to the prophets.
Yeah, they've had a lot of critiquing of
for the founder.
And you know, I forget there's an economist. I forget his name, but he has a great line. He said, "You know, the problem with communism is communism, but the problem with capitalism is capitalists." And when you have people, particularly those on the top of the food chain, who are just about themselves and just being looking out for themselves and their friends, that's when you get problems and the system breaks down.
I want to ask you a question, Joe. Hearing what you just heard, does that reframe any of this for you that's more comfortable?
Well, while he was explaining it, I'm thinking to myself, I have trouble putting my finger on the person that he's talking about. I know that they're out there. I know. But I believe, like in this country alone, there's one side that completely, for lack of a
there's no
country.
Good that a person who's working money can do, right?
Well, and like the Koch brothers, for instance, yes, they put a ton of money into the political system to help it. What I think he was explaining to rig it a little bit, but nobody on that side has ever said this is what they're giving either. The Kochs are one of the largest donors to charities in this nation, and I feel like every day when I wake up, I keep saying, why do they do it? If they call them all these names and they know, to me, they take the moral high road more than anybody can believe. And I don't particularly vote that way. I hate both parties equally because I both think they're both full of crony capitalists. And there are a lot of parties, there are a lot of regulations in the tax laws and in government giving, but they're on both sides. If you look at it deeply, if you get into things where people are taking money from the system, I mean, we do tons of things. But I have been raised by a father that's now long, you know, passed away a few months ago. But his biggest lesson to me was, and you guys know this, I know this, is if you teach that man to fish, he'll eat forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you give him a fish, he'll starve tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, which is,
I don't think there's a big gulf between us, young fellow.
Yeah, and Joe, is this your first time to call?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
At least with this voice.
You need to take care of that voice. Yeah. We want to say a little prayer for your voice. And then secondly,
put your voice on the radio and we will heal it.
keep calling into the future. We want to hear from you again. I'm going to put you on hold so that you can get some of our coasters, please, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Hold on. We're going to be right back. We've got to pay some bills, listen to some news here at the top of the hour. But we'll be right back. And hang on, Les, about those Advent colors and all the rest of the callers. 576-7710.